to write this message this morning. I want to make sure. I know I had to reword it many times to get it where I could present it and communicate it. Right? Okay. No, this is my copy. I have more than you have. Okay. Jesus knows Tom by personal observation. You think that's how we should do it? You think we should all write our name where it says us? Okay, I think that's a good way to start, don't you? Sir? It's a blessing. Yeah. You don't know how blessed you are to sit beside him. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. Jesus knows us. You might want to just underline us and write your name there. Jesus knows Terry by personal observation. Verse 13, let's begin reading. I, who's I? Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think we need to know something about this resurrected Lord Jesus Christ if we're going to have the proper understanding that we need as we read this scripture and exegete it? Okay, good. I, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. That tells me a lot right there. I know where you dwell, a place where Satan sits enthroned. Yet you are holding fast to my name, my reputation. And you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my representative, I'm adding, my faithful one, who was killed or martyred among you, where Satan dwells. Well, look at the word know. The word know is oida. Oida in the Greek language. This word means to see and observe it with your own eyes, to have firsthand knowledge. The meaning here of the word know gives us both encouragement and a warning. It should encourage us that Jesus is aware of everything. And how do I know that? Turn to John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. You should know already the meaning of most of these words, but we'll go over it very briefly. John chapter 1, verse 1. Here we go, verse 1. In the beginning. Underline that phrase, in the beginning. It means in eternity past, before anything existed. In fact, the only thing that existed was the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, in eternity past, was. Underline that word, was. The word was means has always existed. So Jesus Christ is God. He has always existed. He has no beginning. He has no ending. In the beginning was the Word. If we were reading a Mormon Bible, it would be a, not the. But the correct is the. In the beginning was the. Underline the word the. And here's what it means. There is only one who came as the image of the invisible God. There is only one that came as the image of the invisible God. In the beginning, in eternity past, was the Word. And the word Word is Logos. It is a reference to Jesus Christ. He truly is the expression of God the Father. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In other words, Jesus was face to face with God the Father. He was in the beginning with God. All things, past, present, and future, came into being by Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So we see that creation came through the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is fully aware of everything happening in the church and in our lives as His people. Here Jesus understood the very bleak environment that surrounded them. Now turn to James, if you will. Turn to James. Now Jesus has put them in a very bleak environment. He knows exactly where they are. He knows exactly what they are facing at the moment, have been facing, and will continue to face. This is James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it nothing. Consider it nothing but joy. Well, thanks, Jesus. I'm in a demonic influenced city, and you're telling me to consider it nothing but joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials and times of testing, be assured that the testing of your faith, notice this, through experience. If you have through experience, I want you to write staying power. Jesus says, I'm not going to deliver you out of this bleak environment. I'm going to leave you in it. And you're going to be salt and you're going to be light as I strengthen you, encourage you, and embolden you to do and face the opposition that is so horrific there. So Jesus is saying, you need to learn staying power. You need to learn what stickability and stability is. When the enemy comes against you, you must learn to face the enemy, face the opposition. All right? Be assured that the testing of your faith, notice the testing of your faith through experience, through staying power, you're going to stay in this situation as hard as it may be to endure it and survive, produces endurance. So without stability and stickability and staying power, there's not going to be any endurance. There's not going to be any maturing in your life as a child of God. And so he says in verse 4, and let endurance have its perfect, that is, maturing result, and do a thorough work, thorough, so that you may be perfect, again, mature, and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing. Now let's go back to the printout here. Below A, the word no. It should encourage us that Jesus is aware of everything happening in the church and in our lives. Now what do you and I usually ask about this time? Why, Jesus, are you allowing this to happen in my life? I listen to these health, wealth, and prosperity teachers, and they do not teach me this. But Jesus says, this is the way that I have chosen to develop you into Christian maturity, and it is never, ever going to change. Here, Jesus understood the very bleak environment that surrounded them. Number two, it serves as a warning also. Because Jesus sees everything. He is all-knowing, and He is the living God, so He knows and sees everything firsthand. Jesus sees every victory won, but also every misstep that is taken. Jesus sees every challenge faced by believers in the church. I want you to notice and underline the word faced. Jesus says, when I allow a challenge to come your way, I want you to face the challenge and not run from the challenge. So Jesus sees every victory won, but also every misstep taken. He sees every challenge faced by believers in the church. He saw every demonic attack they withstood, along with every error they tolerated. He saw it all. Now notice another subtitle here is what Jesus knew. Number one, first, Jesus knew, since he is God, he is all-knowing about everything that will ever exist. First, Jesus knew about the demonic environment. I want you to underline demonic environment. I took a little time here. Demonic environment. What is it? Demonic environment. Culture and politics influenced by demons. Culture and politics influenced by demons. All you have to do is look at the TV and you got this one with no doubt whatsoever. Do you see our culture and politics being demonically influenced at this very moment? The answer would have to be yes. Let's go a little further. When you think about demonic environment, you'll think about manipulation. Is manipulation taking place as I speak at this moment? There is a lot of manipulation in Washington. Also, supernatural beings. Do supernatural beings exist, or are they a figment of our imagination? Well, according to the Word of God, Satan is real. Demons are real. All right? So you have manipulation that is supernatural. You can imagine supernatural manipulation, way beyond human manipulation. All right? Then you have the supernatural beings. Then you have demonic possession. In demonic environment, you have irrational fears that are being produced. What has COVID produced? Fear. A lot of irrational fear. I'll say this again. My life is in the hands of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to tempt God. I'm not going to push him in any direction. But I believe if I'm living as I should and being obedient to the Word of God as I should, then he will take me in death when he is through with me. I believe if you're a Christian, you'll not die 1 minute early, nor will you die 1 minute late, but at exactly the right moment. It may not seem like the right moment for you and me, but in his eyes, it is the right moment to take his child home with him. All right, here's demonic environment. Supernatural manipulation. Supernatural beings. Demonic possession. Irrational fears. Then there's demons of the deep state. Demons of the deep state. Listen closely to what is taking place in our world, especially in the United States of America, and it is backed by supernatural, demonic, satanic power. Demons of the deep state. Demons, listen to this, become the source of economic and environmental regulations and of social welfare programs. Now think about it for a moment. Regulation. In some places, they're being regulated to death. They're losing their jobs, so they lose their income. They lose a way of making a living. And yet, the government has the audacity to stay closed because of COVID. We're not going to let you out. It would be too dangerous. My friends, who do you think is behind all of this to stir up the people and cause a great fear? It is nothing but Satan and his demonic army itself. Demons of the deep state. Demons become the source of economic and environmental regulations and of social welfare programs. I see the face of AOC when I read this. When I watch her speak on TV and I see those buck teeth come out here, and I watch her eyes, you can nearly see the demon in her face, spewing nothing but venom and that which is anti-God. Here's what I have to say to all of that. They will push down our throat what we allow them to push down our throat. We're going to have to learn to stand up and face the opposition and say, I'm not going to do this. Yes, we will have Thanksgiving. We had it. And we're going to have Christmas. And they're already talking about trying to shut down Christmas. My friends, what the Democrats want in Washington is for you and I to fear them as they seek to have power like they've never had it before. We have a right as the people of God to stand up. And if you read the Word of the Living God, when God's Word is spoken, when God's Word is witnessed, there's a power that goes with that. And Satan cannot stand against the power of the Word of God. It's not what we need to make up in addition to what we already have. We already have the greatest power in the world to handle what is taking place at this very moment. It's all up to God's people taking a stand and saying, enough is enough, no more. And you know what? You'll be surprised how you can back them up. You are dealing with some of the dirtiest, rotten people that you've ever come across in your lifetime. And look at them. They're not going to stop. Antifa is still on a roll. Black Lives Matter, I thought about this the other day. Maybe God put it in my mind. BLM needs a BM. Do you understand what I'm saying? They need to get flushed out of the evil that is within them. That's original. Here we go. Demons of the deep state. Demons become the source of economic and environmental regulations. You think Washington is thinking this on their own? Oh no, they're getting help. All right? Here's another. Demons are on a seek and destroy mission. Demons are on a seek and destroy missions. All right? Here we go. They, demons, work together and strategize. Republicans hadn't learned how to do that yet. Did you notice how Democrats in Washington, how they work together? They do everything together. They destroy stuff together and they strategize together. That's why they walk over the Republicans. All right? Here's the last thing. They, demons, take advantage of our weakness. They take advantage of our weakness that is physical and emotional. All right, let's go back up to number one. First, Jesus knew about the demonic environment in which they lived. He understood the opposition coming against them. Now, if you will, in parentheses, write, he understood the opposition coming against them, parentheses. And so what is he saying? Face the opposition. Face the opposition. He never told the church to hide. He never told the church to turn and run backwards. He says, church, I am the head of the church, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the Word of the living God. He says, now use what I have equipped you with and get after it. Face your opposition, right? Here we go. Second, he knew they lived under the sword of the proconsul. Underline the word proconsul, and here's the meaning of the proconsul, so you'll understand it. The proconsul was the highest authority in the entire Roman province of Asia. He had the final say in all things pertaining to law. What does Jesus have? He has all authority. And what is he holding in his church of Pergamum? Does he have a sword? Why does he have the sword? He says the proconsul, a human being, they say they have the right to let you live or kill you. But Jesus says, I've got the sword. I've got judgment in my hands. I've got the power in my hands. He's not the one to decide when you will die and if you live. I, Jesus Christ, rank above any human being. And I am the one with the authority, and I'm the one you better pay attention to when it comes to the church of the living God. Second, he knew they lived under the sword of the proconsul, which could be used to determine whether they were permitted to live or sentenced to die, capital punishment. Number three, Jesus knew they were living under dreadful circumstances. Being assailed by pagans, underline the word pagans. What are pagans? Unbelief towards New Testament truth? Let's just get the Bible, if you will. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Let's do away with all excuses. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Verse 18. For God does not overlook sin, and the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness did what? Suppressed. You might want to underline that word if it's in your translation. What did they suppress? They suppressed the truth of the living God. If you suppress something, you know what you're suppressing. So they knew exactly what they were doing. Let's read on. Because, verse 19, that which is known about God is evident where? Within them, in their inner consciousness, for God made it evident to them. Let's read a little further. Verse 20. For ever since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through His workmanship, that's all creation, the wonderful things that He has made, so that they who failed, there we go, so that they who fail to believe what they suppress. You got to understand this. They are failing to believe what they suppress, the truth of God, are without excuse and without defense. Go back to the printout. Third, again. Jesus knew they were living under dreadful circumstances, being assailed by pagans. I want you to write down the word suppress. We just read the word suppress. I looked that up. Here's what I got. Suppress. Wicked men put truth in a box and sit on the lid and hold it down in unrighteousness, pretending to be God themselves. Let me reread that. Suppress. Wicked men put truth in a box and sit on the lid and hold it down in unrighteousness, pretending to be God themselves. That's what they were doing. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I could spend a month on that, but I'm not going to do. Let's read what it means. This means what Jesus did is what He does. Since Jesus was walking among the churches then, He is walking among us now. Isn't that what that verse says a little bit? Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? Exactly. Since Jesus was observing the church then, He is observing us now. Since Jesus was looking at their victories, He is also looking at our victories. Since Jesus was looking at their error, He was looking at how we tolerate error too. Jesus does today exactly what He was doing 2,000 years ago. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now go to the top of page 2. Hebrews 4:13. And not a creature exists that is concealed from His sight, but all things are open and exposed, and revealed to the eyes of Him, who's Him? Jesus Christ, with whom we have to give an account. I wish you could write this down. There is a day of reckoning coming. There is a day of reckoning coming when we will have to give account. How will Christians give an account? They'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The unbeliever will stand at the great white throne, which is for all unbelievers that will have ever been born. So there is a day of reckoning coming when we will have to give account to Jesus Christ for the way in which we treated the New Testament truth. What did we read in Romans just a while ago? They suppressed it. They suppressed it. So when Jesus stands in front of them, and I don't know how He's going to address the unbeliever and say, what did you do with the truth that I gave you? I suppressed it. I put it in a box and I sat on it. And I pretended that I was my own God. Period. Since Jesus sees it all, let's be determined that He will have pleasure in what He sees in our lives and in our churches. I know thy works. Look at the word works. It means I know your deeds. I know your actions. I know your activities. Jesus knows every intimate detail of every church. Jesus has not changed. What does Jesus Christ know about you? And what does He know about this church? He knows everything. Then there's Satan's seat unseated. Verse 13. Now, a lot of this is coming out of the King James language, okay? You got that, haven't you, Ken? You like that, okay. Jesus says, I know where you dwellest. Look at the word dwellest. It means to settle down. Stay with it. This is one who is settled into a house or neighborhood. This word dwellest describes continuous action, meaning this is not a visitor or guest who is coming and going. The Greek word indicates permanent indwellers. Jesus says, I know where you live. And guess what? I'm not moving you. You can pray all you want. God, this neighborhood is rotten. And I've had enough of my neighbors. I'm tired of what they're doing to us. And you know what? He says, deal with it. Face the opposition in your neighborhood at this moment. Now let's continue. These Christians in Pergamum were suffering dire persecution and could not escape their environment. Oh, is that the reason Jesus said, be salt? Is that the reason Jesus said, be light? Be where I have assigned you to be. Are you sure? Is this my assignment? To be in this particular neighborhood? And all the stuff that's going on, it's driving me crazy. And Jesus says, I'm not moving you. Don't budge. There's a few here that don't know it yet, but they're going to respond to the gospel when you present it to them. So I'm asking you to pray up. I'm asking you to put on the armor of God. And I'm asking you with a Bible in your hand and a Bible in your mind and the Word of God in your heart and go to them as Jesus Christ would go to them and deal with them if He were here in the flesh. So you get geared up and you get prayed up and that look on their face is not real inviting, but you come and guess what? You begin to share Christ and they begin to open up and share things with you that is really bothering them on the inside. And really, they've been wanting help. And Jesus says, That's why you are where you are. If I took all my people out of a bleak environment, what would be left for you to do? Pat each other on the back and say how good you're doing? My friends, I want my people, even in times of darkness, and it seems it's so dark you can't see in front of you and you don't know which direction you're going, I want you there. I want you there. Remember, when it's been the darkest and the most demon influenced, that's where the church thrived. That's where the church thrived. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. We have a work to do. It may seem dirty to you, but it's the saving of souls to Jesus Christ. And that's what we're all about. That's why Gideons hand out Bibles. That's why they go where a lot of church members say, "Don't take me there. I heard what goes on there, and I don't think I can handle it." Let me ask you something. If you're a child of God, is Jesus inside of you? Good. Then tell me what He can't handle. Is that correct? Tell me what He can't handle. It's you that can't handle it. You know why? You're not properly geared up of the Word of God right here. I may sound hard and harsh or real straightforward, but I'm telling you, this health, wealth, and prosperity preaching ain't going to cut it down the road. You better be geared up and have the armor of God on you and prayed up and deeply rooted in the Word of God, or Satan and his demons are going to turn you inside out. And so will the Democrats in Washington. Now let me clarify something. I'm not talking about all Democrats. I'm talking about the ones you see and I see, okay, that are giving us a fit in Washington. Let me be honest with you. There are some Republicans also that got their hand in a cookie jar. All right, here we go. Question. Would everyone like to escape hardship? Tom, you can answer that one. If you can't, Joey will help you. But there are times when it is not possible. And what did James say? Count it all joy when you encounter trials and hardship and adversity. Stay in it. Stay in it, because this is where I'm going to light the fire under you. This is where I'm going to grow you. This is where I'm going to mature you. I'm going to grow you in Christ's likeness. You won't like it for a little while, but stay in the heat. Back to the printout. Would everyone like to escape hardship? Amen? One more time. Now, your belly's not that full from turkey. Come on. Here we go. Yes, I think you would answer. But there are times when it is not possible. In that day, citizens of the Roman Empire were required to live. If you think times have changed, that's a crock. This mess was going on back then, just with different faces. In that day, citizens of the Roman Empire were required to live where the government dictated. You getting a good taste of that one? It's coming. It's here. They're getting more powerful and more bold all the time. Not only will we shut your place of business down, we'll start telling you where to move. So we can get everything lined up, redistricted the way we want it, so where we're sure that the Democrat's going to get elected every time. Have you heard that? And we might even stack the courts, so every decision made will be for us. You see, they're saying to people who are so lazy they don't want to make a living for themselves. They want to be fed by the government in every way. Now, there are situations where it is something that is needed. I do recognize that. And we need to help them. But there's times it ain't. And the Democrats want to tell you what to do and when to do it and what to eat and when to eat it. They want to tell you how to live. I don't know about you, but I ain't going to cow down to that. And when the government says, Terry, you can't have church here, come feed me in jail, will you? Because I ain't going to cow down. We're going to stay the church, the people of God that God has saved us and called us to be. Back to the printout. Where the government gave them permission and the right to live. This is the place where they regularly dwelled. And Jesus fully understood that they could not flee their situation. And how many Christians beat themselves up saying, I don't like this Christianity. This is challenging. It's not comfortable. And I feel like I'm losing. How can you lose when you've got the glory of God and the power of God and you've got all the beauty of God and everything that's awaiting you as a child of God, my friend, is something that Democrats and Republicans can't put their hands on anymore. It's time. You got marching orders. If we sit and get lazy, we will pay a high price for it. Satan's seat. Satan. Satanas. This word describes one who hates. Let me be easy. Satan hates you. He hates you. He hates your guts. Well, I believe I could change that. No, you can't. You know why? It's not in him. It's not in him to change. He hates you. He accuses you more than you know, or slanders, or one who conspires against another as an adversary. This reveals that Satan was conspiring against the church at Pergamum. Well, we got supernatural planning that is way beyond human logic. I'm telling you, church, I haven't flipped, but I'm telling you of what's out there in the supernatural realm is way beyond human logic. And if you don't get in the Word, which is way beyond satanic logic, you'll wish you had. This reveals that Satan was conspiring against the church at Pergamum. Does he ever stop? Now, what do you see of BLM, Antifa? And what do you see with the Democrats in Washington? They're not stopping. They never stop. It's one thing after another. If it's not Russian collusion, it's something else. We have impeachment. Then we have other things. And you know what? Now when Trump leaves office, if that happens, they want to continue coming against him to put him in jail. Let me tell you something. Here's where the Democrats got it right now. Of course, they're not above God. Don't get me wrong. But the Democrats never stop. Never stop. Never stop doing what they do to destroy America. Never stop. Where do you think they're getting this mentality? Just out of Satan's playbook. And he is playing all of this to a T. This reveals that Satan was conspiring the church at Pergamum. That is a supernatural logic that is way beyond human logic. He was not haphazardly hoping to destroy the church there. He had a plan to do it. You say, Terry, what's our plan right here? Brother, you can't beat it, and we don't need a committee to get together and form a plan. Amen? Amen. Thank you. God bless you for listening. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the truth that you give us. We thank you for warning us of what's coming more and more all the time. We thank you for this supernatural energy that we say, my gosh, can't the Democrats in Washington just take a break and sit down and cool it? No! They're supernaturally energized and it ain't going to stop. And we must not stop either. We must not get lazy and say, oh, it's going to work out. I know it's going to work out. I've read the Bible. But he didn't tell me to stop in the process before it works out. Brother, this is where you and I got to get tough. You remember when the going gets tough, the tough get going? It's in all these football locker rooms, just about. Well, I pray. Because when you get in the Word, Satan's going to try to distract you. He doesn't like it. He knows what will happen to him in your life. He's out. But he'll be back. He did with Jesus. Are we any exception? God bless these people. Give them that supernatural energy and boldness to stand up and say, not here. You're not taking this congregation. You ain't getting this church. For we will stand as soldiers of the Lord and we will follow our leader, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, who is God over all creation. Amen. Let's stand.